Our topic today is Kiddush. There is a beautiful description of the concept of welcoming, which is found in this very sweet book by the former Senator Joe Lieberman called The Gift of Rest, where he describes what he calls the significance of greeting. Welcoming guests to our home shows appreciation and affection for the people we have invited. Greetings at the door have a ritual aspect. Imagine you have invited friends to your home for a dinner party, the bell rings, and you go to the door swinging it open to reveal your friends standing on the welcome mat. Everyone gives big smiles and maybe exchanges hugs and kisses. You offer an enthusiastic welcome. It's so good to see you. How have you been? You help your guests off with their coats and gesturing to the couch or chair, ask them to make themselves comfortable, etc. Your friends are here, he says, to share companionship with you, not simply to eat. Your welcome implicitly reminds everyone of that. The notion of welcoming, it takes many forms in the Shabbos context, Kabbalah Shabbos and davening, of the Zmiras that we say when we get home. But perhaps the greatest, most significant welcome is the recitation of Kiddush. Kiddush is a herald. It's a spiritual welcome that acknowledges the presence of the Shabbos. And the truth is, according to the Rambam, you can recite Kiddush before Shabbos begins or after Shabbos starts. It's about heralding and welcoming the onset of Shabbos. The same way sometimes you go out to greet guests before they arrive and sometimes after they come in. But the first aspect of Kiddush is to realize that with our declaration over this cup of wine, we are welcoming Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik in one of the Yahrzeit Shiurim, we're even adding a dimension, our own personal dimension, to the experience, the Kedusha of Shabbos. That's number one. This welcome, this verbal acknowledgement, this herald, is an important and powerful moment. Kiddush is a powerful moment. The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Yud Testament base, that a person, a mispalo va'omer vayechulu. Now, Vayechulu is a form of Kiddush. Vayechulu, we usually say in Friday night davening, which is why, according to the Rambam and most Rishonim, the Kiddush that you recite in davening is biblical. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa. And the Kiddush on the wine that you say after davening or after you said some Shabbos acknowledgement verbally, that's rabbinic. That's the majority opinion of the Rambam and many Bali Tosfos. But we repeat Vayechulu, of course, when we say Kiddush. We open Kiddush with Vayechulu. We start Vayechulu, and the Medrash says that when you recite Vayechulu, it's ki'ilu, the Gemara says, ki'ilu nasa shutaf l'maisa bereshis. You become a partner with Hashem in creation. That's a very powerful thing. Not only are you adding an element of Kedusha to the Kedusha Sayom, you become a partner with Hashem in creation. Now, how does that happen? So the Maharsha, in the back of the Gemara, he explains, Maharsha says, it's because, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, just briefly, it's because when you say Vayechulu, you're making a declaration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It is akin to the concept of testimony, of Eidos, which is why many people recite Vayechulu standing. Many people recite Kiddush standing. Many people have the practice in shul that when they say Vayechulu again, when the chazan finishes, if you didn't get a chance to finish your Shmon Esrei in time to say Vayechulu with everybody else, right? You know this, you say with somebody else. Because testimony, Eidos, is with two people. So the Maharsha explains that in an earthly existence, fact, from a legal standpoint, fact is only established by testimony. what happened in reality isn't as important to us human beings as what is appearing in court. If nobody can testify about a particular transaction, so then even though it took place, the Beis Din can't enforce it. The person might admit to it, they might acknowledge it, but legally, without edus, you don't have yediya. Nobody has knowledge. You need the edus to create the reality. So that is what the Maharshal says, is the pshat of this Gemara, that when you say Kiddush Friday night, when you say Vayichulu, you're giving edus, testifying, and that testimony creates the reality that God created the world. Because until you testified about it, it didn't exist. B'li edus, the Maharshal's lashon is, lo yivada asiyaso. And then he goes weiter and he says, the same way that how did Hashem create the world? He created it with words, ba'asar ma'amaros. So he created it with words. Will you create the reality in your life that Hashem created the world by saying the Kiddush, by saying Vayichulu? So it's such a powerful idea. And you could take it both on the testimony side. I saw a maisa that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, the Holy Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, before Shabbos, would review the laws of edus, of testimony, because he was getting ready to give testimony to the creation of the world. And that is creating the partnership with Hashem. Well, there's a beautiful way of looking at this, and it's very much in the spirit of his whole ethos of Rav Melech Biderman, one of the popular mashpiyim magidim in Israel today. And one of the things I love about our shir is that we could put Joe Lieberman and Rav Melech in the same shir. I love it. So Rav Melech has the sefer that they published from his talks and maislach and things. It's called Zmirus Shabbos, called Be'er HaChayim. That's the name of the svarim that they published. Rav Melech, so they have a Zmirus book, which I went through the whole thing, and it is awesome. One jam after the next. So Rav Melech has a little maisa here that he likes to quote from different sources. So I saw this maisa. Oh, actually, this maisa was not in Rav Melech. I saw this maisa elsewhere. He quotes from Reb Shlomkovsville all the time. This maisa I didn't see here. I'll get back to Rav Melech and maisa in a minute. But I saw this maisa that Reb Shlomkovsville, who was one of the great tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, one of the Hasidic masters who was there during the war. So you know that the Germans were not too far from invading what was that time Palestine. You know, Rommel was making his way up through North Africa, and there was really a palpable feel in the Yishuv that people were afraid that the Germans were going to overrun the British in Palestine. So there was a particular Friday, I saw this Maisa somewhere, that they were very concerned about this, and it was a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, so they ran over to Rav Shlomkovsville after he made Kiddush, and they said to him, you know, you have to daven for us. You have to daven that the Germans, that Rommel shouldn't make it to Israel. And you know what Rav Shlomkovsville said to them? Why didn't you tell me before Kiddush? Because I would have davened before Kiddush. I would have thought about it during Kiddush. Because he said a great part. Ready? He said, what happens? You're like a shutuf with my Bereishis. You become a partner with God. Well, partners have influence over each other. You can't do something without your partner. And not only that, if your partner says, do you mind? Can we please work this out? You're going to be very amenable to doing that because you're partners. So he says, when you say Kiddush Friday night, that's a powerful time to daven. So I started this practice, I don't know, maybe a year ago. And I don't know if I'm always conscious of it every week. But Shabbos, and we've talked about it. Remember way back earlier in the year, we talked about Shabbos and the concept of Shlemus. So I started trying on Friday night to remember to whisper verbally, quietly, my own personal tefillah before Kiddush. And it's been now over a year, but I try to remember, I don't always remember, I try to remember the poor people, the Nebuchadnezzar people in Ukraine on Friday night before Kiddush. Because there's no shalom in the world. It's a fractured world. You have people killing each other, mamish. We're not sensitive to it because it's not falling at our doorstep. But you remember, not too long ago, Nebuchadnezzar, there were people in Europe, our family, they were being, you know, massacred and murdered, and people were shooting howitzers at them, and much, much worse. But we in America, we were a world away. So I try to be makabel on myself, to pray for them, for peace for the world, at this koach, at this point, when your partner's with Hashem. So you say to your partner, look, I have a favor to ask from you. And this is what I'm asking for at a given time. So the koach of tefillah is part and parcel of the experience of Kiddush. That's number two. So it's a spiritual power. And then the third introductory element that I would point out when it comes to Kiddush is that it is associated with spiritual vision. And I want to explain what I mean by that, because I think it's also very powerful. We don't think about this often. The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was at the end of his journey, the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, it's okay. Well, he didn't say it's okay. It wasn't so okay. But he says to him, go at the top of the mountain, Ure'eyes Ha'aretz, see the land. Which on the surface, one might have thought is a very cruel thing to do. You won't tell a kid, you know, because of your misbehavior, we have a consequence. You are not going to the amusement park tomorrow. Instead, we're going to drive to the parking lot and you're going to look at it. All right? You're going to look at that, whatever that crazy thing is that they put a tin can and a cord and they drop it down 100 miles an hour that some of my kids go on. You know what I'm talking about? The thing. You're going to look at it, but you're not going in there. That's like Inu Hadin. That's like Onoha's Dvarim. So what did the Moshe do? He was hurting Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings? No, because in this world, in some way, when you look at something, Uri'isem also, you connect to it. You build, through the visual relationship, you rebuild some kind of connection with the thing that you see. And so what the Rebbe was gifting Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, look, I can't take you there. And we have reasons for that. But at least you can see it. And when you see it, you're going to feel connected to it. You're going to feel like you're there. You're going to feel like you went to it. Lahavdal, Elof Alfei Havdalos, Dr. Pelkovitz, should live and be well. He talked about there was a guy who was interviewed in some tiny hamlet in an off-the-beaten-path place in India because some researcher had found him. He had a remarkable level of happiness. So they were studying this guy for his happiness. The guy never had traveled outside his village, and he never had gone to any higher education. He never went vacationing. So he never went to, what's that? He never went to a Pesach program. He never sat in first class. He never anything. The guy lived in this hut. But apparently he was like a tour guide in one of the local nature places. So I remember Dr. Pelkovitz told us this Maisa, that the guy was so happy. Why? Because lots of times when people would come, they were tourists from different places, and they would bring him postcards from all the places that they had lived in. So you have someone who brings a postcard from Iceland. He would ask them, he'd say, please show me where it is that you live. So this one would come from Iceland, and they would introduce themselves. This one would come from, I don't know, Argentina. This one would come and they say, what country are you from? They say, I'm from Brooklyn, right? Like everybody had their, you know, reference point. Exactly. So the guy felt, it was so interesting. This guy, according to what they found, he felt like he had a shaychus to all these places. Why do you have a shaychus to all these places? The guy, he never went to Iceland. He never went to Argentina. But because he had a vision of them, because he could imagine them, because he saw them, at least even in a postcard, he felt like he was a world traveler. So obviously that's like at a very, very low level, but on a much deeper level, on a higher level, when you see something, you build a connection to it. And I would suggest, and this could be totally wrong, I think that's because when you look at something, you become present in that place. There's an English expression, right? Look me in the eye. What does that mean, look me in the eye? It means be present, right? When you're talking to someone and they're not looking you in the eye, they're not looking at you, meaning they're not present. They're on to the next thing or talking to the next person or they're thinking about something else. So we tell them, look at me, right? You have to have a difficult conversation with somebody, especially if it's a child. What do they have a problem doing? Looking you in the eye. Because they're uncomfortable being present. They're uncomfortable with what's happening. So they look down or they look up. Even speakers, you'll notice sometimes when a speaker is looking for a thought, they'll look away. They won't make eye contact because they're not present, be'etzem. Because when you look at someone, you're present. So here's the idea, perhaps. You tell me what you think. The Rama writes in Reish Ayin Aleph, in Sif Yud, the Rama writes, I don't know how many people know this din. The Rama writes that when you begin Kiddush, you're supposed to look first at the Shabbos candles. You know this din? And then, when you say the Kiddush, you're supposed to look at the Kiddush cup. You're supposed to look at the wine. The Mishnah Berurah says a lot of people don't do this, but this is what it says in the Rama. So I'm thinking about this. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? You're supposed to look at the candles and you look at the wine? Because by looking at it, by focusing on it, it means you're connected to it. It means you're present. That's the spiritual transition from Chol to Shabbos. We say, the Rebbe is saying, you're going to make Kiddush. You're going to say, this is a Zman of Kedusha, so look at me. Be present. Look here. And this maybe explains, what's that? So if you know it by heart, then you look in the cup. If you don't know it by heart, then you look in the Siddur. But because it's not Pesukim, you don't have to look in the Siddur.
Even if you know it by heart, it's better to look at the words.
It depends. According to the Rama, it's better to look in the cup if you know it by heart, if you know it correctly, because it's not Pesukim. So now, this can explain something really interesting. You know, the Gemara has an expression. The Gemara says that if you take a psia gasa, a huge step during the week, it takes away 1/500th of your eyesight. That's what the Gemara says. When do they give it back to you? They give it back to you, the Gemara says, Kiddush Friday night. It returns to you the koach, the capacity for vision. So what's the shot in this Gemara? That if you take a big step during the week, they take away, kivyachal, 1/500th of your vision, and then they give it back to you Friday night. So the Mishnah Berurah here points out that, well, if you're looking at the cup, that looking is somehow mending your visual impairment from the week. So what's the pshat? The pshat, l'chura, is what happens when a person takes a big step? What am I doing when I take big steps during the week? I'm running. I'm skipping over something. I'm moving quickly from one thing to the next. You know what we call that? Scrolling, right? Now we don't have to take big steps with our feet. We just use our thumbs. One thing to the next. Meaning, I'm rushing. I'm not present. If a person walks slowly during the week, then everything they're doing, they're present. Says the Chazal, on Friday night when you make Kiddush and you let go of all the craziness of the week, when you're rushing from one thing to the next, you can finally be present. You can finally be connected where you are. Memela, that's perhaps what it means, al pidrush, that they give you back 1/500th of your eyesight when you recite Kiddush. Because now you have that spiritual vision of being present. I'm not running to the next thing. I'm not taking a psia gasa, a big step. I'm just there. This is the koach of the Kiddush of Friday night. So now this is the maisa I was going to say before from Reb Melech. He tells a maisa, an awesome maisa. He quotes from the Nesiva Shalom, who was the Slonim Rebbe, who used to quote from Reb Chatzkel of Kuzmir. He says a beautiful pshat on this idea of seeing and the idea of being present. He says that Kiddush is from the Lashon of Lekadesh. So Lekadesh means to sanctify. It could also mean to betroth, to become connected and linked in marriage.
Kiddushin,
exactly. So he says, Kiviyochol, when we say Friday night, Kiddush, we're Mekadesh Nirbon Shom, we say Harei Ab Mekudesh Asli, and he says to us, Harei Ab Mekudesh Asli, so to speak. So he quotes a great vart from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, you know, you're not allowed to marry someone before seeing them. You can make a shaliach, you can deputize someone else to be Mekadesh a woman on your behalf, but you're not allowed to be Drabban, and you're not allowed to do that unless you saw her first, unless she saw you first. You have to see each other. So he said in Yiddish, Betechdir give nor akuk. I'm asking you, Rabbon Shalom, look at me. This is the time for Kiddushin. We have to look at each other. It's the koach of being present. Right? This is the idea of looking at each other in the eyes. That means that you're present and you're not paying attention to anybody else. If you look at that person in the eye, they know that you're present. One of the most hilarious and embarrassing moments was apparently at our wedding, Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechta Shlita was our Masada Kedushin. And at that time, it was not clear what I was going to do, whether I was going to go learn in the Kolol after Smicha, or I was going to go into Chinuch to become a Rebbe. So one of the people at the wedding was a Mechanech, a principal of a school. So I'm pretty like straight, like narrow guy. So this particular administrator of this particular school went over to Rav Shechter, who's my Rebbe, and said, you know, do you think he'll be a good Rebbe in a classroom maybe? Because he seems like very, I was polite for saying nerdy. Like, I think that was a polite way of saying, he seems like very straight. So Rav Shechter said to him, of course he has a personality. Didn't you see under the chuppah he was making eyes at her the whole time? So at first I thought that was very embarrassing. But then I thought that, but that was actually the point. That you're looking at the person and you're being mekadesh. You're mamish looking at them, you're being present. You're looking at them. That's the spiritual vision of Kiddush. That kivyachol, this is the time the Rebbe Shlomo says, I'm looking at you, can you please look at me? And maybe that's why it says in the Ramah, that when you recite Kiddush on Friday night, you look at the Neiros of Shabbos, and then you look at the Kos of Shabbos. So these are the three introductory Ha'aros that I wanted to share, because they can really frame our whole experience of Kiddush. The fact that Kiddush is our spiritual welcome, that the Rebbe Shlomo kivyachol, like Rav Soloveitchik explains, unlike Yontif, where we go to his house on Shabbos, he comes to our house, so to speak, kivyachol, right? The Shechina comes to our house. We're welcoming him. That's the herald of Kiddush. That's Aleph. Beis, it has the spiritual power of becoming a shutta for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's a real koach, even perhaps a koach of tefillah, of tapping into that power, of realizing our koach. And then the last is this idea of spiritual vision, that when you see the Ribbono Shel Olam and you look him in the eyes, you're really all of a sudden present in a spiritual way. And that's related to this idea of looking at the Neiros and looking at the Kos. Okay, so Al Regel Achas, just very briefly, I wanted to think about the three main topics that relate to the world of Kiddush. Now this world is extremely complex, and we're just going to do a brief overview, but the idea of Kiddush as this institution, this transition point, at least on Kiddush on Friday night, L'Kadesh, to sanctify, to acknowledge this transition, we can frame it in three different areas in light of an expression that the Gemara has in Psachim Adaf Kof Aleph for what we paskin is the requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Se'uda. Kiddush, meaning the sanctification, is B'Makom, in the place of a Suda. That's the phrase. Now the Ran points out, the Rif points out, the Riz is because the Pasuk says, V'karasa L'Shabbos Oneg. You should call for Shabbos Oneg, which at the most basic level is enjoying a nice meal. So when you call out, this is Kiddush, V'karasa, where is that? Oneg. It's in the place where there's a Suda. Now you can ask, is this a condition of the Kiddush, or is this also a condition of the Suda? That's an interesting discussion in the Achronim. But unlike, for example, Havdalah, there's no Suda that goes with the Havdalah. There's a mitzvah to have a Malava Malkam on Soy Shabbos. Should wash on Saturday night, have a little Suda. It's okay if it's Milchiks. It's okay. I think that's okay. Just saying. Halach l'mais, it's okay if it's Milchiks. It doesn't have to be Fleishiks. But that Suda of Malava Malka has nothing to do with your Havdalah. Right? You finish Havdalah, you drink the wine, you say Al HaGefen, you're done. There's no din of Havdalah B'Makom Suda, but there is a special din called Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So what I'd like to do is just briefly define these terms, because it's helpful as a way just of remembering. It's good, at least memory device, to think about Kiddush, and then Makom, and then Suda. So the idea of Kiddush is the notion that the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Perek Chavtes, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah. It's a biblical commandment. L'kadish Es Yom HaShabbos B'dvarim. To sanctify, to endow this time period with holiness, with transcendence, with connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'dvarim. With words. Shenemar, he quotes the Pasuk, Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'kadisho. Now the Rambam then uses the word very precisely, klomar. Anytime you see the word klomar, how do you translate the word klomar? As if to say, right? So to say. Because if you look at it carefully, the Rambam says the word zachor, what does the word zachor mean? Remember. You could do remembering in your head. But the Gemara has a drasha that zachor here means lehazkir. You have to do it bepeh. You have to say it. You got to verbalize it. Klomar zachreu zechiras shevach v'kiddush. You need to verbalize shevach v'kiddush, which becomes a discussion in the Achronim, that if you just verbalize, you say good Shabbos to someone, maybe that's on some level, obviously not ideal, and you're maybe not mentioning this shevach and the kiddush, but maybe that's implied. Maybe you could biblically require, you fill your biblical requirement, just saying good Shabbos. This is why some poskim, some tzaddikim, when they would get on the bus in Yerushalayim on Saturday night, they would say to the bus driver or to the monit driver, they would say to them, Shavua Tov. And usually the bus driver will say Shavua Tov, which potentially, at the most basic level, could be Mekayim, your din of Havdalah, Minat Torah, according to the Rambam. And therefore, you're helping the person demarcate between Shabbos and Chol, and now when they drive the bus, they're not Mechal Shabbos anymore. Because they, on some level, they acknowledge Bidvarim, the transition from Shabbos to Chol. So it's not ideal, obviously, and it's not a full Zechiras Shevach V'Kiddush, but it's some fulfillment. And the Rambam says, V'tzorach l'zochreyu b'knisaso v'yitziyaso. The Rambam's opinion is that not only is Kiddush Minatorah, Havdalah is Minatorah, that's a big machlokas in the Rishonim. And then the Rambam gives you the Nusach of Kiddush Hayom. There's a big discussion in Rishonim. The Gemara has this idea that you have to mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush, and the assumption of the Rambam and others is that you have to mention that as part of Kiddush on Shabbos. But we know that there are two Kiddushes. The Gemara has an expression, it's called Kiddush Hayom, sanctifying the day. Well, that actually, the Ikar Kiddush, the Rambam writes in Halacha Dalet, Ikar Kiddush Balayla. The main Kiddush is at night. Now, if you didn't have Kiddush on Friday night, which would be very unusual, but God forbid, if a person was, I don't know, maybe they were in the hospital and they couldn't recite Kiddush and nobody could recite Kiddush for them. So then recite Kiddush during the day. If you didn't get it, so you recite Kiddush at a later time. But there's another Kiddush. We're familiar with this, of course. That's the daytime Kiddush. You said Kiddush on Friday night. You were makayim your mitzvah to oraisa, your biblical acknowledgement of the onset of Shabbos. Then there's something that Gemara calls Kiddusha Rabbah, the big Kiddush. Now, why do we call it the big Kiddush? So my favorite point is that one of the Rishonim says, you know why we call it the big Kiddush? Because we don't want it to feel bad, because it's actually not really a Kiddush at all. You don't say much for Kiddush. Now, in our family, we have a minute to say several psukim before. We say v'shamru, we say v'zachar. But me'ikar adin, the Gemara says, there was some confusion even in the times of the Amoraim. What did you need to say? So one of the Amoraim says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Bor Pri HaGafen. And he went to drink. So the other Amora said, oh, must be, that's all his Kiddush is. That's the whole story. Just Bor Pri HaGafen. So it's called Kiddush Rabbah. It's not the main Kiddush. And there are a bunch of differences between Kiddush on Friday night and Kiddush in the day. But the main thing is that the Kiddush, Min HaTorah, is Bidvarim, is with words, according to the Rambam. Midrabanan, they added you on to say that the Kiddush should be over a cup of wine. That's a Din Drabanan. And so the recitation of the Kiddush is the main thing, and you can be Yotzei that with a principle called Shomea Ka'one. Listening is like saying, which is why, even though everybody at the table is going to be obligated in Kiddush, so men are obligated in Kiddush, women are obligated in Kiddush, why? It's a time-bound mitzvah. But because there's a linkage between the mitzvah of Zachar, positive, with Shamor, their B'dibur Echad, so just like women are obligated to make sure not to violate any of the Isurim, the Lavim, the negative commandments, so they're also obligated, Min HaTorah, to recite Kiddush. So then you have, maybe you have children at the table, so they might be Chayav Al Tzchinuch. So when everybody listens to the Kiddush, when you listen to the Kiddush, and ideally you say Amen, so your Yotzei, this Zechiras Bidvarim, on a biblical level, Midaraisa, with the Shomea Ka'ona, with listening, is like hearing. There's a big discussion about women, and on the same level, the bottom line is, You recite Kiddush on Friday night and you say Amen, you are Yotze with Shomea Ka'oneh. So that's the Kiddush itself. The main thing is the words. The Rabbanon added that you should also have wine. Now, when you say this Kiddush, you're going to say it over a kos shel bracha, this din to Rabbanon. Now the kos, it has to be machzik or revius. It has to be, you know, how much is revius? So this is a debate. Maybe it's around 2.93 or up to over a little over 4 fluid ounces. And then there's the whole question in lumdus, how much do you have to drink? So best thing is drink rov kos, molin lugmav, or mevarach tzarech shi'itom. There's a lot of discussions about this. But something that comes up some of the time is that, especially if you're traveling, you're going to have, you have wine, or you have grape juice, something, but you don't have a metal cup. So this comes up sometimes. So there's a big tumult in the modern day poskim what to do about this. It's also true for the Seder. So ideally, the best thing to do is to use an actual cup, like a glass. So this happens sometimes. Now, if it's yours, obviously you can't use a glass that belongs to you if you haven't toveled it. But this comes up sometimes. Let's say you're in a hotel for Shabbos, and it's one of those hotels that has like a little kitchenette thing, but you don't have a Kiddush cup with you. So one year, this happened. I forgot my becher on Pesach. I forgot my becher at home. I usually try to pack it. I remembered myself, but I forgot to pack a becher, and there were no extra bechers. So what they had, where I was for that Pesach, were those plastic fake Kiddush cups. So this is a big discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Or HaChaim in Chelek Gimel Siman Lamed Tes, not so excited about the plastic cups. He thinks it's not really a kos. It's got to be a kol shel bracha. And the Tzitz Eliezer of Leizer Yudah Waldenberg in Chelek Yud Ches in Siman Chaf Gimel, he's more okay with it. But you know what I did? I realized we were in a vacation rental house. So there they have all these dishes and a glass. A glass is one of the easiest things to kasher, right? Especially for Sephardim. So I did this without people paying attention because people get nervous when I do these kinds of things. So I took the treif glass on Erev Pesach before the Zman, and I kashered it with boiling water because, first of all, it was Eino Ben Yomo. Second of all, it was probably never used for anything hot. And I'm going to only use it for cold. So I didn't really have enough time to do so much research. I had no Sephardim. But I figured the best thing is I don't need to tovel it, I just should kasher it before the Zman. So I kashered it in the bathtub when nobody was watching with the boiling water, and I was fine, Baruch Hashem. And instead of using a plastic cup, even though the plastic cup looked like a becher, it was a fake becher, I used the wine cup, the treif glass. So I didn't have to tovel it because it's not mine, and I kashered it on Erev Pesach. And it probably didn't even need to be kashered with Haggalah because it was a wine glass. What do they use? Does anyone use a wine glass in a vacation rental for hot chametz? Probably not. So just the chumer to make sure. So sometimes you're traveling somewhere, and if you're in a hotel or something, can you ask somebody, can I get a glass? You usually can. You can usually figure it out that you can borrow it and not have to worry about toveling it because you're using it for cold anyway. And I was just trying to be super machmir for Chumer de Pesach to make sure that it was totally covered. But the best thing is to use a glass or some kind of metal cup, that it should be a proper kosher bracha. So the next issue that I kind of alluded to is that the din is it's supposed to be al hayayin, on wine. So then there's a big discussion here in the Shulchan Aruch, in the context of Hilchos Kiddush, what kind of wine is the best. There's a discussion about red wine versus white wine, fancy wine, not fancy wine, mevushal wine, not mevushal wine. But everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, we would all agree, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara calls this, has a special word for this, we all agree that grape juice is fine for Kiddush. Even if you think that you should be machmer not to do it use it for dalat kosos, so first of all, you can mix grape juice with wine, which is what I do on the night of the Seder, because if I had a full cup of Moscato, I would be ois mensch by the time we got to Shulchan Aruch. It would be not shayach. So I mix it up with the grape juice, so halachically it's wine, but you don't have to be on the couch. So the Kiddush for every week is Bor Pri HaGafen, and That's totally fine. I came across an amazing Maisa, which I had to dig up and then really research. And then I found it in an interview because I had heard about this Maisa, about making Kiddush on wine. You ready for this? So as many of you know, I'm a huge fan and a big chassid of the late Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. So I had seen this Maisa somewhere, and then I found it in an interview that he did years ago when he first moved to Teaneck. He was interviewed by a local periodical, and he told them the following story, that when he moved to Pittsburgh, he became friends with the diocese bishop. His name was John Wright. That was the bishop in the Pittsburgh area, who later became a cardinal and moved to Rome in 1969. So Dr. Twersky said that this relationship became very important because at one point, lo aleinu, he had a priest come to the hospital who needed to be treated for alcoholism. And this priest was so intensely troubled by this addiction, he ended up in the ICU. And Dr. Twersky said to him that when he was mamish, like on the threshold of death for 5 days in the ICU, he received the last rites. He said, when he came to, Dr. Twersky told him that you have no ability to control your alcohol consumption, and you may not at all, under any circumstances, drink any alcohol. So first, he said he has to put him on a special medication that I never heard of. I never heard of this. Yeah. There's such a thing, lo aleinu, antabuse. So the priest asked the Mishaila, he says, I have a problem. The priest says, I have to say Mass. And in Mass, apparently, they drink wine. So he says, what am I going to do? So Dr. Twersky said, use grape juice. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to use grape juice. So the priest said, no, the din is, it has to be wine. So Dr. Twersky says, I will ask this Shaila on your behalf. I have a guy in the Vatican. This Cardinal John Wright. So Dr. Twersky says he called John Wright in the Vatican. He says, I have a Sheilas Chacham Lahavdil. He says, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to get a heter for this priest, this alcoholic priest, that he should use grape juice in his Mass. So Rabbi the Cardinal said, I will personally hand carry the request to, and I shouldn't say this in the shul, the Holy Father. He says he's going to ask the Pope, Bechvodo V'yatzmo Lahavdil. The next day, the cardinal called with a new heter. Alcoholic priests may use grape juice. So Dr. Twersky said, tell the Pope he did a mitzvah. So there is such a din that you can use grape juice. Now, what if you have no wine and you have no grape juice? So there is a big... What's that? Right. The Shulchan Aruch has a big discussion about this, of what we call Chamar Medina, which is the average drink that people are drinking. If you remember, in the time of the Gemara, most people did not drink water. Water was putrid, it was disgusting. Most people drank wine or beer or mead, stuff like that, that was, you know, at least relatively more sanitary, I guess. So Chamar Medina was the beer, date beer, people drank very commonly. What's the drink that people are drinking regularly? So, there's a big discussion about this. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rush, who says there's a difference between Friday night Kiddush and Shabbos day Kiddush. They quote from the Rush, who says, look, if you have no wine, where is this thing? I didn't mark it down. Here it is. This is in Reish Ayin Beis, Ayin Reish Beis, in Sif Yud, Ulaharosh, Balaila, Lo Yekadish al Hashechar. Friday night, do not recite Kiddush on beer. Even if you have no wine and you have no grape juice, you should not use beer. And Achronim point out because of the way that it's going to acknowledge the sanctity of the day. However, you should use, what's that? Exactly, you should use pas. So Paul last week showed me from this very old Siddur that in the Siddur, you showed it to me. In the Siddur, there actually are two options for Kiddush. One goes with, I never saw this before. In this old Siddur, what year was it published? 1941. There was one side that says, Bor Pri HaGofen, and the other said, Ha Motzi Lechem in Haaretz. Uba Boker, in the morning, Shabbos morning Kiddush, Yer V'yoser Tov L'Kaddish Al HaShechar. It's better to use beer than wine, than bread. Because it's not so indicative that you're making something special by being Mekadosh on bread. So this is what we pask in Halacha L'maisa. However, when it comes to Shabbos Day Kiddush, there's a big debate also in the Achronim regarding schnapps, like scotch and other alcoholic drinks. So there's a big discussion about this for a few reasons. There are those who are opposed to making Kiddush on schnapps. So first of all, we said before, ideally, your Kiddush cup is supposed to hold a revius, and you're supposed to drink a Rov Revius. How many people are drinking a Rov Revius of schnapps? If you are, amazing. That's mamash a hider. That's a hider mitzvah, and you call the priest, exactly. That guy is not drinking a Rov Revius of schnapps. So this is a question. Can you make a kiddush on a glazel of schnapps? So there's a tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi, the Heliga Kozhe Glover, the last Rosh Hashiva of Chachmei Lublin, who was killed by the Germans. He has a tshuva about this, and there are a lot of achronim who are lenient, and they say, since the normal way to drink that beverage is not to make kiddush on a whole cup, on a Tuesday, if you went to celebrate with somebody at a l'chaim for someone's simcha, you wouldn't pick a whole cup of Crown Royal. Like, nobody would drink that. My grandfather's a Zichron Levracha, my maternal grandfather, so he was from Russia, and he definitely could drink a whole cup of whatever it was. But he never drank a whole cup. He always had like the one little thing or a few, like Crown Royal, the small things, a shot glass. He wouldn't have a whole cup. So many poskim say, since that's the norm, other poskim are not happy about this. It's a big discussion. So, lechat chila, Shabbos day, best thing is to make kiddush on a full cup of wine or grape juice. B'dieved, if you're in a pinch, so take a whole cup of schnapps and pour out a little bit, and if you're in a pinch, more than that. So the Kozhe Glover says there's a leniency that's similar to a Taz, who says that the bracha achrona on tea is going to be different than a regular beverage, because the normal way to drink tea is by sipping it. So it sounds like from the Taz that the normal way to drink a beverage is going to determine aspects of the shear, of the size. So maybe since the normal way to drink schnapps is with a shot glass, so there are many, the Maharsham and the Eretz Tzvi, so they're making on this piece. So we have the concept of Kiddush. Okay, a little bit late, so let's talk just briefly, al regalachas, about B'makom, and then about the Suda. So B'makom, what does it mean that you have Kiddush, B'makom, Suda? So we alluded to the fact that earlier we mentioned there are different minhagim regarding standing or sitting at Kiddush. So one reason that some have the practice to sit on Friday night and on Shabbos day for a kiddush is because your kiddush is b'makom suda, at the place that you're having a suda. So sit down and make kiddush. Kiddush b'makom suda. A separate reason you might want to sit for kiddush, Achronim point out, Yishon already dealt with this, is that in the Gemara Brachos, in the times of the Amoran, to get people together for a drinking gathering, they would sit down, they would have Heseba. But the counterpoint to this kiddush b'makom is especially on Friday night. We said that it's like vayichulu, is like edus, it's like testimony. What does the Gemara say in Sanhedrin? How do you give shavuos also? How do you give testimony? Ba'amdu shnei anashim, you have to stand. So many have the practice to stand Friday night, especially Friday night where you herald the welcoming of Shabbos. Maybe you have to stand l'kavod Shabbos, l'kavod the greeting of Shabbos, which is why in our house we split. On Friday night we stand. This is also al pi Kabbalah, but on Shabbos day we sit, because there's no vayichulu, so there's no edus, and there's no greeting of Shabbos, so we get the kiddush b'makom suda. On Friday night, there are some people who only stand for the first four words, Yom Hashishi Vayichulu HaShemayim. What is that? That's the Rosh Tevos, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, acknowledging the presence of Hashem. So they stand for that. There are some who just stand for the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, and then the vayichulu, and then they sit for the Bor Pri HaGofen. We've seen this. And then there are some people who sit for the whole kiddush. And then there are people who stand Friday night and Shabbos day both. But it all revolves around these different svaras. And one of them is kiddush b'makom suda. That's number one. The second issue of makom is that you have to have the same place where you're eating your suda. Now it's possible you're going to recite kiddush with shomea ka'ona for someone else, and they're going to be having their suda. That's fine. They're yotze. But if you're not having a suda, you aren't yotze your kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is based on the Gemara, this is also in Hilchos Brachos, Shinui Makom. If I'm reciting a bracha here, And then I want to carry on my meal back at home. So if I'm drinking soda and then I have half a cup of soda here, I can't just go home and finish the other cup of half a cup of soda. I have to say Bar Nefashos here, and then I change my place and I can finish the, I can go over there to my house and say a Bar Paragraph in the beginning and then Bar Nefashos, Shakala, and then a Bar Paragraph, Bar Nefashos. But it's an interposition. That's a total hefsik when you change your place. What about if I want to go from the main shul to another room in the building? That's called cheder lecheder. So the Gemara says, and this is the big discussion, the Gemara in Psachim, and we pass it like this. If you have in mind, that's something you're going to do. That's not a problem. So usually this is what happens in the shul, that you make kiddush in one place and you have in mind that you're going to go somewhere else. It happens sometimes on Sukkos. The Shulchan Aruch says the same kind of thing, necheder lecheder, that you make kiddush sometimes, whatever, for some reason, maybe it's raining or something like that, but you have to have your kiddush in the same makom. You can't make kiddush here and then have a suda at home. You have to have a kiddush b'makom suda. So, al regel achas, if it's in the same room, mipina lepina, that's not a problem. If it's in the same building, me bias in one bias from cheder lecheder, one room to the other room, that's allowed. So that's not called a shinur. So let's say at home, you make kiddush, I don't know, make kiddush in the kitchen, and then everybody goes to the dining room to sit and eat the meal. That was your intention. That was your das. That was your original thought. Memela, that's okay. But me bias la bias, to make kiddush here, and then to go to someone else's house to have your suda, that's not okay. So what do you need to do? This is the last point, and this is literally bekitzer, bekitzer nimrutz, is you have to have a suda. You have to have a meal. V'karasa l'shabbos oneg. Well, what constitutes a meal? So obviously, the best thing to do, Rabbi Yonah, in his commentary on the Rif, he points out, he says the best thing to do is to wash. That's the best thing. To have bread, kiddush b'makom suda. But not every time do we have kiddush, do they have washing. Because then you have to have a proper place to sit and benching, and it's a big balagan. Most times when you have a kiddush, you don't wash. So, the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Ayin Gimel and Sif Hei, they quote from the Gaonim that you can have bread or you can have wine. So let's say you're reciting kiddush and you drink the revius of wine. That's like a meal. Especially in those days when they would sit down to formally have a drinking party. So that was very common. So that's your second option. And there's a discussion, just the kiddush itself, or do you need a separate revius? But in the end, just, you know, let's say you just drank the revius of the kiddush cup. So that's good. So either you washed or you drank the kiddush. Still, most people are not doing that. So if you look in the Magen Avraham, in Sifkat Yud Aleph, he says mizonos also works. So this is where we get it, that if you'll notice, usually when the rabbi makes kiddush, where's Ira? Okay, so exactly. Why do they bring the rabbi a few cookies? So that he should have kiddush b'makom suda. Because by the time the rabbi gets to the shalant, gone. Ois. I can tell you it's a professional occupational hazard. There's nothing left. So you have to have kiddush b'makom suda. So they'll get now, you should be careful not to overdo it at a kiddush, because it's a little bit disrespectful. The Magen Avraham points out, it's a little bit disrespectful to have a huge feast at the kiddush, and then you're going to go home and have a nice suda, and then you're not going to have any, you know, any interest in eating a proper Shabbos meal. But the idea is, you're thinking about kiddush b'makom suda. Now, it happens to be that the Magen Avraham also quotes from the Shulta Giborim, if the chips are down, the Magen Avraham says from the Shulta Giborim, and this is quoted by later poskim also, that you can have fruit. It's not ideal.
Kiddush and shul Friday night during the
davening. Oh, this exactly. So your question is, why make a kiddush and shul Friday night? This is sure. A huge question, which is what, you know who asked this question? The Tosfos asked this question 900 years ago. Doc, you're already machamen to the Tosfos. Tosfos said doesn't make sense. So in the times of the Gemara, you know why they make kiddush on wine in the shul on Friday night? Because they had people, lo aleinu, they were sleeping and eating in the shul. So that's why they did it. That's why it's a big discussion already in the times of the Tosfos, who says, today we don't have people sleeping and eating in the shul, so we should stop doing it. Which is why oftentimes, to be machmir for this a little bit, they'll usually give the wine on Friday night to a katan. Which is bechlal a question, you know, is that a proper chinuch or not proper chinuch? But usually they give it to a katan to drink Because we're a little bit cagey about this, which is why in some places they got rid of this minhag. When I was growing up on Friday night, they never made Kiddush and Shmuel. Because they got rid of this minhag, because of exactly this thing. That's the question, where is your Kiddush b'makom suda? So maybe if you drink the cup of grape juice, that's called your suda. But this is an interesting thing. So the justification of it is, okay, that was the minhag for a long time. Maybe give it to a katan. We should keep the minhag. Maybe there will be people sleeping in the shul. Maybe there are going to be people eating here. I don't know. But in Achanami, this is a big question. Already Tosfos himself raises this issue. But the one thing to understand, because we're out of time and happy to discuss afterwards, is the idea that lechat chila, you should have a proper suda. But b'di'evet, the Magen Avraham does quote, if you have fruit, so that's going to be also okay. So aleph, you have to make kiddush. Meaning, you have to recite the words. Beis, it's got to be over a cup of wine. It should be a proper cup. It's got to have a shear. It's got to be chai molei shtifa hadacha, like all the requirements of a proper kosher bracha. It's got to be b'makom. So think about what's your minig. Do you sit? Do you stand? And making sure that it's dafka b'makom, meaning in the right place where you're going to be eating. If you recite Kiddush and don't eat anything, or you don't drink the Kiddush, you only drink a little sip, so then you have to recite Kiddush again because you weren't Yotze the Kiddush. The people listening who ate the Suda, they were Yotze Kiddush, but you weren't Bamako. And then the last thing is you need to have a Suda. You need to make sure that you have something to eat. And then that is the full kiyum of this beautiful mitzvah that we have every, the schus, to have every Shabbos of Kiddush, Bamako, Suda.